Julius Caesar commanded an army in Gaul in the years 58 to 50 BC for a complex collection of reasons, but ultimately they boiled down to basically the fact that Caesar needed political power, and the best way for him to achieve it was through military victories. That was the best way for Roman statesmen traditionally to achieve political power. Caesar had served as consul in the year 59 BC, and during that year, he had committed several illegal acts. He had committed these acts to help his allies, Gnaeus Pompeius, Pompey the Great, and Marcus Crassus. These three together had formed an alliance that's sometimes called the First Triumvirate. It was an informal alliance. And basically, Pompey and Crassus used Caesar to get the legislation passed that they wanted in 59 BC. And they wanted that legislation passed over the heads of their opponents. And Caesar simply ignored legal precedent and other constitutional niceties in order to get that legislation passed. As consul during 59, Caesar held Imperium. Imperium, of course, is the Roman power, the formal Roman power to command armies. But it also gave the holder immunity from prosecution, so Caesar could not be prosecuted during 59 BC for his actions. But as soon as he left office, he would become liable for prosecution unless he could maintain Imperium. So Caesar needed Imperium to protect himself from prosecution for his illegal acts during 59. And so in the 10 years after Caesar left office at the end of 59, his main concern is to continue to hold Imperium and to avoid prosecution and to gain political authority through military victories, also to gain wealth through military victories. It was important for Caesar to hold this power for 10 years because after 10 years, he was eligible to be elected consul again. And when he entered the consulship again, of course, he would have Imperium and he couldn't be prosecuted. So Caesar saw basically a 10-year window in which he needed to keep his Imperium and gain as many victories as possible and make himself as popular with the Roman people as possible. And to do that, of course, he needed the help of his allies, his political allies, Pompey and Crassus. During his consulship in 59, Caesar obtained the command of three provinces for the period after his consulship. He would leave office as consul and enter a period as proconsul, governor of these provinces. The most important for our purposes was this, and for Caesar's, was the province of southern Gaul, Gallia Transalpina, Transalpine Gaul, Gaul across the Alps from Italy. This was essentially what is today southern France, Provence, indeed, the province. And Caesar uses the defense of the province in southern Gaul as his reason for the military campaigns that he begins in 58 BC. And Caesar makes it clear, or he wishes us to believe, that the Roman province in southern Gaul was being threatened by movements of non-Romans through Gaul. And so Caesar's campaigns in Gaul begin on the pretext of protecting the Roman province in southern Gaul. And yet Caesar's actions are always outside the province. He's fighting the Gauls not in Roman territory, but in Gallic territory. And in fact, it appears that Caesar suppresses the main reason for his first campaign, which was that a collection of Gauls were being harassed by Germans and compelled to leave their native lands. And Caesar portrays this as a threat of the Gauls on the Romans in Gaul. But it's just as likely that these Gauls felt threatened by the Germans, and that's the reason that they had left their home and were trying to move to a new area of Gaul. Now, there was nothing unusual about a Roman commander acting outside of his province in order to protect his province, or acting beyond the border of his province to protect his province. This had been part of Roman strategy for some time. The Romans, in fact, projected power beyond their borders in order to secure their borders. And so Caesar acting outside the province in order to protect the province, to keep the province secure, wasn't formally outside of Roman tradition. But in fact, when we analyze Caesar's campaigns in 58 and the years thereafter, we can see that although his professed purposes are to protect the province, that almost from the beginning, Caesar appears to have conceived of actually conquering Gaul. So while his professed purpose is pacification, his actual purpose seems to be conquest and incorporation of territory into the Roman Empire. And one of the reasons that we can think this is that Caesar's armies often wintered in Gaul. He didn't just go out of the province into Gaul, campaign, and then go back into the province. Caesar oftentimes would leave armies encamped in massive fortifications in Gaul itself. And this was a message to the Gauls, I think, that the Romans didn't intend to leave, that they had come to stay, and Caesar wanted to send that message to the Gauls. Another reason we can conclude that Caesar intended conquest and not just pacification is the fact that he invaded Germany and the island of Britain from Gaul. And here we see that Caesar is projecting power beyond the natural frontiers of Gaul, the Rhine River in the case of the invasion of Germany, and of course the English Channel in the case of the invasion of Britain. In both cases, Caesar seems to have thought of pacifying Gaul itself by pacifying the regions outside of it. He wanted to settle the situation in Gaul to prevent Germans from continuing to cross the Rhine and cause problems in Gaul, and so he crossed the Rhine and essentially waged a campaign of reprisal against Germans in Gaul. And in the case of Britain, perhaps that's a bit of a stretch. Caesar does maintain that the inhabitants of Britain had been causing problems in Gaul, but I think that Caesar's invasion of Britain was as much a demonstration of Caesar's power and genius. Britain was a sort of almost misty, strange land to the Romans. It was at the end of the world as far as they were concerned. And Caesar taking a large army across the English Channel twice and invading Britain was, I think, in part a PR stunt in which Caesar could say to the Roman people, look at what I've done. I've actually invaded this weird land at the end of the world and brought Roman power to the very edges of the known world. And again, we shouldn't underemphasize the importance of money in all this. Caesar was in debt. Caesar had borrowed large sums of money during his political career. He had relied on the wealthy supporters like Marcus Crassus, and Caesar himself didn't have a lot of money before his campaigns in Gaul. And military campaigns like those in Gaul allowed Caesar, as they allowed any Roman commander, to accumulate large amounts of money. Caesar, of course, also used his campaigns to make himself more famous, more popular with the Roman people. And we're not quite sure exactly how Caesar composed his commentaries on the Gallic Wars, but it is conceivable, and I think likely, that he wrote accounts of each year in the winter when he wasn't campaigning. Caesar spent the winters typically not in Gaul, but in northern Italy, which was another of his provinces, the province of Cisalpine Gaul, Gaul on this side of the Alps. And I think Caesar probably wrote up his accounts of each year's campaigning season, at least preliminary accounts of them, and sent those back to Rome. And so Romans were able to read and hear of Caesar's exploits in Gaul. Caesar's tactics and his military genius require some comment. First, Caesar was a master at using location, maneuver, encampment, and fortification against enemies. That is, Caesar seems to have, if he could, wished to avoid a battle. If he could win a campaign, if he could defeat his enemy without having to engage him, this was all the better. And so Caesar was often able, by swift maneuver, to put his army into a position that was so superior to the enemy's position that either the enemy would not engage, withdraw, or Caesar simply had an easy victory. He was really a master of topography and choosing the precise locations for his camps. And again, the reason he was able to do this so well is his army's speed. The speed of Caesar's army is often emphasized. Now, in modern terms, you have to remember that these armies were incredibly slow because the fastest any Roman army can move is as fast as one soldier can walk. The army simply can't move any faster than the infantry can move. But even so, Caesar's army moved very swiftly compared with other armies of the day, and his soldiers seemed to be willing to undergo forced marches for days on end. And Caesar used this relative speed of his army to a great advantage. Another tactic that Caesar used was a typical Roman tactic, which was reserve power, holding something in reserve. And Caesar was willing to keep part of his army in reserve, even in very dire situations. Sometimes the 10th legions, the special legion, Caesar's favorite legion, was used as a reserve unit. But this reserve power meant that even if the Romans lost a battle or were losing a battle, they were always able to disengage, almost always able to disengage and retreat successfully and reform, because part of the army was held back to cover that retreat. Caesar also used campaigns of reprisal where he simply punished Gauls for allying with his enemies. And in fact, the last couple of years of Caesar's campaigns in Gaul seem to have been particularly brutal. Caesar didn't write accounts of those years, some have speculated it may be because the tactics Caesar used in those years were simply too brutal even for Romans, and so he didn't write those accounts himself. Finally, I want to say a word about Caesar's character and personality and his use of psychology. Caesar inspired great loyalty in his troops. They were inspired to compete for Caesar's good opinion, and Caesar was willing to endure hardships. This inspired his troops. He was willing to get down off his horse and fight when necessity arose. Caesar was a leader in a sense that it's sometimes hard for, I think, moderns to imagine, where generals and commanders are so far separated from the actual fighting that's going on. That wasn't true in Caesar's day. But Caesar's psychological skills, his skills at employing psychology, are perhaps even more amazing than his ability to inspire his troops through his own actions. And the example I'd like to end with comes very early in Caesar's account of the Gallic Wars. This is around Book 1, Chapter 40 or so. Caesar's men were about to encounter the Germans in their first major campaign. And they were in the town of Besançon, and Caesar got word that the men were frightened. There was some panic breaking out in the legions at the idea of facing the Germans. They were hearing reports about how big and strong and nasty the Germans were. And so Caesar's response to this situation was to call together the centurions of all the legions that were with him. And he gave a speech to those centurions, you know, the most important, the oldest troops. And he basically said, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves for worrying when you know I'm your commander. And there's nothing to be afraid of when it comes to the Germans anyway. So he gives this speech about the reasons not to fear the Germans. But then he ends the speech by saying, but if you guys don't want to go, that's fine, because I'll go alone with the 10th Legion. The 10th Legion and I will go and fight the Germans, and I know the 10th Legion won't let me down. And the response to this was amazing because, of course, all the centurions in the 10th Legion, you know, stood forward and, you know, pounded their chests and said, that's right, we're not going to let Caesar down. He knows the 10th Legion is the best legion, and we're not afraid of the Germans. The centurions of the other legions, of course, looked at the 10th Legion centurions and said, we're just as good as those guys. We're not afraid of the Germans either. Let us go. Let's go fight the Germans. So Caesar was a master of psychology, and with this subtle approach, he completely changed the situation. His men went from fearing the Germans to competing with one another for the right to go and fight the Germans. And I think it was this mastery of the psychology of his troops, combined with a great tactical and strategic genius, that made Caesar the military success that he was.